Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear. Lord, You have a message for us. And I pray that our hearts respond to the message that You have. Because, Lord, You have thoughts towards us. You have thoughts towards our lives. And these thoughts were born in eternity past. So, Father, I pray that we receive the thoughts that You have. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 103. This message has been brewing for about 3 weeks. It's been very heavily on my heart, and finally I believe it is the time to deliver it. In Psalm 103, and starting in verse 1, the Word of God says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto the children's children. To such as keep His covenant, to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord had prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." We have a calling from God, and it's spelled out in Psalm 103. And this is what our lives are supposed to be, are to be, to God. But those experiences that we are called to with God are not always going to come. It really depends on how I respond to God. And if I respond in positive volition, mixing faith with what I hear, walking in the light as best as I am able as a human being, then I will experience these things that God has for me. One of the number one strategies of the enemy in the Laodicean age, and I personally believe that it is the number one sin in the Christian church, is familiarity. Where the Word of God, the fellowship of the saints, the things of God, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, are no longer sweet to me. They are no longer precious. They have lost their novelty in a way, although they may not be new. They can retain their freshness. And because of this, I get bored and I start to seek other things. This is not a good place for the believer to be, but it is a very common place for many believers to enter at one time or another in their life. Some people will enter this place, they will get right with God, a message or an event will correct them, and they will change their hearts toward God. They will rightly adjust themselves back to the grace of God, and that familiarity will disappear. And the freshness that they once had will be there again. Other believers will not. They will enter into familiarity. They will seek things that will tantalize their flesh, that they will satisfy them in an emotional, earthly sort of a way, that will fulfill what they think is a need in their emotions and in their soul, apart from God, and they will fall away. Satan uses familiarity. Familiarity does not originate with the enemy. Familiarity originates in my flesh. And when it is found in my flesh, and when I allow it to exist, I allow its seed to propagate, then I give room to the enemy in this particular way. And he will take advantage of whatever it is that I happen to give him. It is imperative that I not become familiar. And if I have become familiar, it is imperative that I don't remain so. What is it that will keep me from familiarity? What is it that will return me to God if I am familiar? The Word of God gives three provisions. That's what we're going to talk about today. In Proverbs 22:28, the Word of God says, "Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set." Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. The word "remove" there in the original language is nasag. And it means to move away, to be turned, to change something from what it was. And this is what happens in today's churches very often among today's Christians. They do not go away per se, not outwardly. They are not removed, but they change. They change things from what they were into something different, to what they were not. And they remove the old landmarks. What are the old landmarks that the fathers have set? The Word of God. The Word of God is the first. They forsake components of the Word of God. It is not sweet to them. Pastors, in order to be more appealing to people who are carnal, will water down the Word of God. They will start replacing the Word of God with music. I say, if we have a good music program, that will bring people in. Well, you know what? You can have the best music program in the world. You can have the best gospel singers on the planet in your church. If there is no Word of God, then your church is meaningless. You cannot replace the Word of God. The presence of the Holy Spirit is an ancient landmark. Where the Holy Spirit, because the pastor and the congregation have been broken before God, because they love Him, because they have received His love. And the Holy Spirit comes and He fills, and it flows freely in the message. It flows freely in people's lives on an everyday basis. You're at work or at school, and the Holy Spirit's presence You can sense it even though you're not concentrating on it. It is there. It is almost like the air, where you can sense the air although you don't think about it. The Holy Spirit's presence is an old landmark, an ancient landmark. Soul winning is an ancient landmark. Preaching the gospel to the lost, sharing your faith with those who are unbelievers, pulling people out of the fire. It amazes me how many people are content with the world going to hell. How many people can look at an unbeliever and totally disregard the fact that they will spend their eternity in hell. Faith is an old landmark. Believing God, trusting Him, and even though there is no sight as the Holy Spirit is leading in your heart, trusting Him and following Him in faith obedience, knowing that He will bring you to the place that He desires. Knowing that if you respond to Him in faith, that He will do something for you, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There are many old landmarks that the Word of God gives. But people depart from them, they change them. They take away the Word of God, they take away soul winning. How many churches today actually soul win as a practice? How many churches today that say that they have a missions program actually win a soul in that missions program? I think more churches today go out and fix roofs and build walls and repair plumbing and wash floors. And there's nothing wrong with doing those things. Those are acts of kindness, and I'm not against those, don't misunderstand. But they call that their missions program, and not one soul is witnessed to in the process. They have removed the old landmarks. How many believers have removed the old landmarks? Where they say to themselves, I have something better to do than to hear the Word of God. I have something better to do than to fellowship with the body of Christ. I have something better to do than to walk in my precise calling. There is something more enjoyable, more tantalizing. There is something that I really enjoy and I like it, and it's just plain fun. There's nothing wrong with having fun, but make sure it doesn't become the source of removing the old landmarks. How many people will give up convictions? How many people will go to the cinema and watch a program that has things in it that God says are not even to be mentioned among them, and they pay money and call it entertainment? They remove the old landmarks. They have become familiar, and they remove the old landmarks. How many people sacrifice convictions for acceptance in the world? They remove the old landmarks. In Proverbs chapter 23, in Proverbs chapter 23 in verse 10, the Word of God says, remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. When I remove the old landmark, I enter into the fields of the fatherless. What does that mean? The field of the fatherless is where I feed, and it is where I get my portion, and it is the place where I find my life. Just like Ruth was told to glean from the fields of Boaz, and she gleaned from her spiritual father, just like that, in the same way, except opposite, just like that, except in an opposite way, those who remove the old landmarks feed and they enter into the fields of the fatherless. Who are the fatherless? Those whose God is not their father. And they may do it through religion, like the Pharisees did. And Jesus called them the sons of the devil. Or they may do it through worldliness. Or or they may do it through human good and humanistic reasoning, rationalizing away conviction and precision and a life with God. They may do it through sentimentality, where they don't want to give up ungodly relationships because the other person is, after all, a believer and they're my friend and I've known them for a while. Well, you know what? That friend of yours is taking you to the fields of the fatherless, because he has removed the old landmarks and you, through sentimentality, are following him. Don't remove the old landmarks. How is it that I not remove the old landmarks? Three things. If I forget not, I will not forsake. If I forsake not, I will not depart. This is what I need. Forget not, forsake not, and depart not. In Proverbs chapter 4, and verse 27, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Turn is the word nata, and means to stretch out, to extend, and to pay attention. People think that to go to the left or the right means that I've forsaken church attendance, I've forsaken things like being in the body, and now I quit, and now I go after the world, and so I've turned to the left or the right. But that's not what it means. What it means is that instead of going through the straight gate on the narrow path, my path starts to broaden, and I start to accept and take things in that are a little bit ungodly. I start to take in music, and this is common in Christianity. I start to take in music that caters to the flesh rather than building up the spirit. It energizes and charges my flesh, and I'm just a little bit there because it's a little bit of a feeding of the flesh rather than letting it be crucified with Christ, so that area of my life can experience God's life flowing through it. We don't want to give it in. We expand just a little bit. Relationships are so common like this. Relationships where people are ungodly, and because I am sentimental toward them, and because I have known them for a while, and because in my natural disposition and my natural personality I have a soul power relationship, or something about their soul satisfies something in my soul, and we hit it off. And so because of this, not because Christ is between me and thee, but because of this, we expand a little bit. And I'm not saying we ignore those people. We don't fellowship with them and we don't have them as friends. We may minister to them to win them to Christ. And even if they are born again, they may still need to be won to Christ in a practical sort of a way. We expand a little bit. Activities that are not godly, they have a little bit of an ungodly fringe, but most of it is okay, but there's still a little bit of an ungodly fringe, and it's that little bit that Satan looks for to corrupt my frame of reference, to put an unclean thought into the mind. I go to a movie or I do something, and maybe I go to a beach, and there's nothing wrong with going to the beach, but I tell you one thing, the way that some of the beaches look in the summertime, I wouldn't want to be caught dead there. But I say, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, sure, but you'll just be around it, right? Lot. Right? You know, we expand a little too much. The road is narrow and the gate is small. We are not to expand that road. It is turning to the left and it is turning to the right, and my foot finds evil when I expand. Evil is Satan's government. The world system is under the authority of Satan. I walk into the world system. And though I don't entirely go in there, my foot does not depart from evil. There is a portion of my life which has been corrupt and which is impure. And I can't quite grow and I can't quite have a life with the Spirit, and I'm kind of stifled in my Christianity because my foot has not departed from evil, because I have incorporated evil on the narrow path as I've broadened it. And I've turned to the left, or I've turned to the right, And turning to the left means turning in your weakness. Turning to the right means turning in your natural strength. It is either because of my weakness or my natural strength. It's the opposite sides of the same tree. The Word of God says not to do these things. Because then my foot finds evil. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11, let's start in verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou not forget the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Forget not the statutes, the commandments of the Lord. Don't forget His Word. Keep it as a light. Keep it as the source of your evaluations and your thinking. Keep it as the premise of your evaluations and your analysis. As you think about what to do, as you think about your life, as you think about your decisions, the Word of God becomes the standard with which you compare. And you line everything up with the finished work, grace of God, the Word of God, hatred of sin, love of grace, love of mercy, not finding your place in the world, but walking after the precepts of God. And you compare all things to God's Word. And if it is according to God's Word, then it is fine. If it is not according to God's Word, it is not fine. And I need to know God's Word in order to have it as a standard for my operational premise. If I don't have it in precision, if I don't have it clarity, if I don't have it line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, then I don't have clarity in my operational premise at all. I don't have a clear frame of reference. Things will become hazy and murky and unclear to me, and I will not be able to make right decisions in precision. I'll have confusion. Is this right or isn't it? Because I have no precise Word of God. I have no precise specifics in doctrine. I am not to forsake this. As people, and this is a big one, and this is one of the top characteristics that the Word of God in Revelation chapter 3 gives about the Laodicean age. People gather to themselves wealth, and their soul is lifted up. My mood is lifted up. My emotions are lifted up. The way that I think about things is lifted up. What are the parts of the soul? The mind, the emotions, the conscience, the self-consciousness, and the volition. What I want, because it satisfies my emotions, gets lifted up. And I feel like I can do this because I don't recognize my need for God, because I have stored for myself great wealth. But it is like the man that Jesus spoke about, who said to himself, I'm going to build a bigger barn, and I'm going to store all my things in it, and then I'm going to say to myself, now I can take it easy. And God said to him, you're a fool, because tonight your soul is going to be demanded of you. David said, teach me to number my days. Why? Because I don't know how many I have. Don't forsake the Word of God. Don't forsake. Don't forget it. Don't leave it behind as though it were not important, just because it may not be convenient to that which your soul desires. In Deuteronomy 25:17, remember what Amalek did unto thee, by the way, when thou wert come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Amalek in the Bible is a type of flesh. Egypt in the Bible is a type of the world system. Remember what your flesh did as you were leaving the world system. What kind of trouble it gives you. How it sneaks up on you, and you are weary, and you are not necessarily very sharp, and you are tired, and you are not thinking about it, and your guard is down. Remember what the flesh does to you. Don't forget how it creeps up behind you because you've given just a little bit of a provision, because you've broadened your road just a little bit with things that were not of God, and it slayed those that were in the back of you. It killed a part of you. You failed, you stumbled, you did things you ought not to have because you were not careful about your flesh. You did not pick up your cross and follow Christ at that time. Psalm 105 verse 5, remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgment of His mouth. Don't forget those things that God has in store for you. Remember those things which God has given you. Remember the times that God has blessed you and that He's come through for you and that He's answered your prayers. Recall them. Think about them. Don't forget them. Remember those times. Why? Because they will be an encouragement to you as you continue in places where they may be challenging for you. And like Peter, God will take you to places where you would not otherwise go, but He will only do that if you have enough maturity to trust Him in that place. And Jesus said to Peter, you will go where you wouldn't let it happen when you were young. But when you're older, somebody else is going to take you there. Someone else is going to gird you, Peter. What does that mean? Somebody else is going to clothe you. And you're going to go to places where you would not otherwise go. Because you'll be led by the Holy Spirit of God. And He's going to go take you into the mysteries that you do not understand. And He's going to reveal His nature to you in a way that you would not otherwise know. But you would not choose it in your natural thinking. You know, I think sometimes it's interesting what God says to remember. Remember His ways. Remember your flesh. Remember to keep a single eye. Or remember Lot's wife. In Luke 17:32, the second shortest verse in the Bible, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Why? Because Lot's wife was in a place that was very ungodly. It was the world system. As the angels were dragging them out of there, her heart remained and she looked back. But no man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And she was hard of heart. And she longed for that which was worldly. She longed for that parts of her flesh to be fulfilled that communed with the world system that liked the evil that her foot was treading on. And she looked back. And she became as her heart was. Every believer will ultimately become as their heart is. It's only a matter of time. Remember Lot's wife. In 2 Kings 17 and verse 38, the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget. Neither shall you fear other gods. But the Lord your God you shall fear, and He shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. And the word forget there is seka, and it means the passage of time softens the memories. That's what it's referring to. And as the passage of time continues, and you have been walking with God, and you get a little bit familiar, and your memory starts to soften, and you forget things like the finished work. You forget things like convictions. You forget things like precision in the Word. And you get bored. And the world and worldliness and worldly things start to be a little bit more amusing. Your entertainment starts to be more and more important to you. I swear, if there is one thing about this age that really trips people up, it's their entertainment. They like to sublimate so they don't have to face God in a daily practical basis. Christians do this all the time. They turn on that TV and they just sit there and veg out. My wife was noticing something. Lately we've had several new neighbors move into the neighborhood, and every single one of them, she said, I think maybe you can tell they're Christians like this. So every single one of them, the very first thing you see is the cable television truck. Why? They need to sublimate. Be careful about these things. Do not set up for yourself other gods. You see, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. At God's right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You see, God does not want you to have a boring life, and He's not intending to give you a boring life. You are only bored if you have become familiar with your life with God. And boredom is really a middle ground, like a no man's land, a dead zone between the world and God. And the world gives pleasure for a season, and God gives pleasures forevermore. But the bored person is neither here nor there, neither hot nor cold. They're right smack in the middle, in that dead zone that makes God want to throw up. You see, if I am hot after God, if I have committed my heart to Him completely, if I have surrendered to His will in my life, and I have a single eye toward Him with a single vision toward Him, I will have pleasures forevermore, because I will be experiencing my position at His right hand. And He is there to give me pleasure here on earth, not only in heaven, but so that I can experience my place in heaven here in time. And part of that place is pleasure. I have joy in my heart. I enjoy the fellowship of people who are like-minded with a single vision. I enjoy the place of my calling. I enjoy the vision that God gives. Because I have a heart that is spiritual and a mind of Christ in me. I enjoy things like soul winning, because there is nothing greater in the world than to see a soul be plucked out of hell and placed in the kingdom of God for all of eternity. All of heaven, the Bible says, that the angels rejoice at the salvation of one person. But believers become bored where all of heaven is rejoicing, because they don't have the mind of Christ. They have departed from the old landmarks. They have become familiar with the things that are eternal. But there is great pleasure in there. The world will not find pleasure in Christ. Christ finds no pleasure in the world. So the bored believer is in that dead zone between sin, between carnality, and spirituality. And so he's bored. Both will give pleasure, but only one lasts for eternity. In Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 13 and then skipping over to verse 21, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall thy life be unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. You know where fear comes from? When I forsake wisdom, I become afraid. When I forsake understanding, I become afraid. When I forsake discretion, I become afraid. My son, the psalmist says, my son, the spiritual father talking to his spiritual son. Don't forsake, don't forget the spiritual father. Don't forget the voice of the teacher behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Don't forget these things. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them constantly in your perception. Keep them in your frame of reference. Guard them there. Keep them in your thoughts. That word depart is in the original language laws, to go the wrong way or to become perverse, to become corrupted. If I am apart from wisdom and understanding, then my perception is corrupted. And I do not have the mind of Christ to think with the thoughts of God so that I can know God's will and God's heart in all circumstances. This is where I lose conviction. Because I have let wisdom, the skillful application of doctrine and understanding the experience of that doctrine, depart from me. The word discretion is mizima in the original language, and it means plan, a thought, or a purpose. Do not let God's plan and God's thoughts and God's purpose depart from you. Keep them in your perception. Keep them as your focus. Keep them as your motivation. Keep them as your primary cause. Do not allow them to depart from you. In Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Again, the spiritual father talking to the spiritual son. How important is that? People think that it's not very important what your pastor says. People think it's not very important what your spiritual father says. People think I can go here, there, and everywhere. I don't need him. I've got my friends. Isn't that what Rehoboam did? When Solomon gave him wisdom, and Rehoboam went to Solomon's companions, Solomon's advisors, men of great wisdom, and then he went to his own friends, and his friends told him to do very foolishly, and as a result, Israel was split in half, and directly because of that, at the point where Jeroboam became the king, the leader of the northern nation, that is what determined that the northern nation was going to go into captivity for 400 years. It was Rehoboam's foolishness that brought them there because he departed from the words of his spiritual father. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Pay attention, incline your ear, listen, seek listening to these words that I give you, is what he is saying here. Let them not depart from your eyes. The words that I speak to you, he didn't say the words that God speaks to you, he said the words that I speak to you. Let them not depart from your perception and your understanding, from your frame of reference. Cause them to be the source of your thoughts. Why? Because it was the word of God spoken through a man. That's why he was a spiritual father. That's why he could call him my son. Apart from that, there is no such thing as a spiritual father. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Let those words penetrate and permeate into your heart, into all that your frame of reference is. Let it be completely saturated with the words of the spiritual father. Do not forget. Do not forsake the spiritual father. Let His words permeate into the heart. And keep those words as the foundation of your frame of reference. In Proverbs 4 and verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake again, from the words of whose mouth? The spiritual father's. How do you get wisdom and understanding? From the spiritual father. From the pastor teacher who preaches in the anointing of God. Who preaches the full counsel of the word of God. That's where you get wisdom and understanding. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. She will preserve thee. The word forsake there is to leave it, to loose, to abandon it. Don't loose these things away from you. Keep them close to you. Do not abandon them, embrace them. Forsake her not, and she will preserve thee. And the word there, preserve, in the original language is sham, and it means to keep you and to guard you. The words the spiritual father taught, keep you and guard you. But people forsake them because they don't let them penetrate into their hearts, because their attention, their gaze is taken away, their focus is gone. They do not have a single eye. They are double-minded in all their ways, and instability comes in. And they can't quite walk right, and they can't quite not sin, and they can't quite get it right. And even though they may have a heart after God, their mind is divided a little bit in the world and a little bit with God. A little bit of sentimentality and a little bit of conviction. And it's a divided heart with a divided mind. And they become unstable in all their ways because they have not allowed the precepts that are taught, the words of the spiritual father, to penetrate their frame of reference. And so, they are not guarded by the Word of God. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. My son, the spiritual father saying to the spiritual son, hear the instruction. That means you've got to be there. And if you're not there, you're not going to hear it. This is why Elijah said to Elisha, if you see me go up, then you will have the double portion of my spirit. Why? Because he had to be there. And what did they do on the way? They talked. There were words. They talked on the way. They shared the Word of God on the way. And as they were sharing the Word of God, as Elisha was hearing the words of his spiritual father, that the chariot of Israel came and it took him away. And he got the double portion because he was there to hear. He got that part from God that he so desired because he was there to hear. And he didn't forsake the law of his mother. He didn't forsake the convictions that his mother taught him, the one that gave him life. And that may be your physical mother if she's a Christian and she's teaching you in the Word of God and that she teaches you conviction. Or it may be the person who gives you that life. It is the Father's heart acting as the mother, imparting life through the Word of God to the believer. And nourishing that believer. Don't forsake those things. In Deuteronomy 30, in verse 17, but if thy heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to possess it. And I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. What does this mean? That if you do not depart from the ways of God, if you keep them in your heart, if your heart does not go after other things, then God will protect you and preserve you. He said, I denounce you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over the Jordan to possess it. What is that saying? That means that you will have God's life in you. It will not depart from you. If your heart does not turn, God's life will not depart from you. And you will not walk out of the promises of God. Because the land that they had to cross the Jordan to get to was the promised land. That was the promises of God. What it is saying, if you keep your heart with God, if you keep your heart and guard it with all diligence, if you do not depart from the words that are being preached to you by the man of God that you are called to, if you keep the words of God and you make them your frame of reference and you keep them in your heart, they become your operational premise. If you keep those words and you do not depart from them, then you will have the life of God flowing through you and it will not depart from you, and you will enter into the promises of God, and the promises of God will preserve you and they will never leave you. And you will experience them in a very practical, tangible, real way here on earth. And they will not simply become a dead theology, but they're going to be a living truth in your life, a living experience. And you'll experience them throughout your entire life. You're going to go from promise to promise, from grace to grace, from glory to glory, if you keep your heart. Take heed to thyself in Deuteronomy 12:19, that thou forsakest not the Levite as long as thy soul shall live. Don't forsake the pastor. The Levite was the priest. Don't forsake the pastor. You are called to a pastor. You are called to have a pastor. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we are called to a shepherd, one shepherd. It doesn't mean that we can't have fellowship with others, but there is one that is our own. And we are called to that person. And we don't forsake the Levite, because he is the one that is giving us the word. In closing, in 2 Samuel 22, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands he hath recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. I have not departed, and God rewarded me. What happens to those who depart? They lose their reward. But I have not departed, and God rewarded me. And have not wickedly departed from my God, and all His judgments were before me. That means the finished work of Christ was before me. And as for His statutes, the Word of God, I did not depart from them. In Psalm 101, a froward, that is a corrupt, froward means corrupt, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. I do not have a heart that has been corrupted by an expanded road. You see, that's the problem. When I turn to the left and to the right, I allow things into my frame of reference. I allow in the cockatrice eggs. I allow things into my way of thinking. They get planted in my brain and they are hardwired in there. And I can recall them years and years later. And even though I may not be conscious of them, they are in my subconscious mind. And they take their place and they have their effect. And someday, somehow, for no apparent reason whatsoever, they crop up and they start plaguing me because the cockatrice eggs are hatching. And I become very forward in my life, in my mind, and I become forward in my frame of reference. And it is corrupted because I have not guarded my heart, and I have departed from the ways of God, and I have turned and I have forgotten. And all of a sudden it comes in. And it is irresistible. I cannot control it. And it takes over my heart. It takes over my soul. And it brings me down. And it leads me away from God. And it leads me into the world. And finally I stumble and I fall. And I may fall into sin. And it may be outward sin, or it may be a subtle sin, simply like not believing or lack of faith. I know a man who did that. He was a pastor, a very fruitful pastor. Started a ministry that's still very fruitful. But he left his ministry, he left his call. You know why? Money. He went after money. He went to a different city, got a degree, started working very hard in a job where he became quite successful. And now he doesn't even believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And he used to be a very fruitful pastor. And he is also one very miserable man. He's a miserable man. All because there was a cockatrice egg planted and it hatched. And fear came into his heart that he would not be able to sustain himself because he stopped trusting God. He had enlarged that road. Now he has no life with God at all. And he's lost Years and years he's been gone now. He's lost reward after reward after reward after reward because he's lost opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And I don't know, I believe he was, but I don't know if he was born again. Because it is not possible for a person to walk away in that way and never have the Holy Spirit do anything about it. But assuming that he was, the Bema Seat may be a very difficult place for a person like that. See, he became corrupt in his perception. Something came in and he lost with God. By the way, the only way to, with God, the only way to lose is quit. Don't quit, can't lose. The only way to lose is quit. Even though you may fail miserably, the only way to lose is quit. When I fail, I draw near. The natural man says, withdraw. But what I really need when I fail is to draw near. And finally in Job 21 and verse 14, and this is the problem right here. When I walk away from God, when I expand that road, when my heart becomes corrupt, when He is no longer precious to me and I have become familiar, when the Word is no longer precious because I have become familiar, when the fellowship of the believers is no longer precious because I have become familiar, when my call is no longer precious because I am familiar. Therefore, they say unto God, depart from us. They say unto God, depart from us. For we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. And believers are there. I know a number of them. You know a number of them. Even young people, even teenagers are there. They say unto God, they profess Christ, but they say unto God, depart from us. We don't desire the knowledge of your ways. We desire the tantalization of our flesh. We desire ungodly, immoral relationships. We desire the things of the world. We desire that which the world has to offer. We desire that pleasure of sin for a season. Depart from us. We do not desire the knowledge of your ways. We do not desire a pastor and a spiritual father. Oh, we'll say we go to church so we can appease our conscience, but we do not desire it in our hearts. We do not draw near. We do not take our opportunities. And we will follow after the latest and greatest and that which tantalizes and is entertaining, forgetting that at God's right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And they say, depart from us, God. And they don't have life in their life. And ultimately they reap what they have sown. Because it is not possible to sow without reaping. And it is not possible to reap without sowing. And so they walk away. You see, remove not the old landmarks. Because they protect you. They protect your life. They protect your walk. Don't turn to the left or to the right. Don't broaden that road. Don't accept in those things that are not of God. Oh, I know they tantalize your flesh. That's why you accept them in. If they made you miserable, you wouldn't want them. But be careful. They are cockatrice eggs. And though they may bring pleasure for a season, it is only for a season. If I am familiar, then I need to remember. How do you get out of familiarity? You forget not, you forsake not, and you depart not. And if you have started down that road of familiarity, you turn around. And every step you took down that road, you take back. And you start remembering and you stop forgetting. You stop drawing near, you stop departing. And you start receiving and you stop forsaking. and it'll bring you back into a rich life with God. Amen.